is one of two books in the Bible that's got a woman's name to it, Ruth and Esther. And Ruth is, she's in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to Matthew or Luke 1, I forget which one it was, but anyway, there's four women in that genealogy that when you look at them, you wonder, what in the world? First, there's Bathsheba, Solomon's wife. Even after he took her, she became his wife. Then there was Tamar, Judah's daughter-in-law, that had a son by her own father-in-law because he didn't do her right. Then here's Ruth, and then there's Rahab the harlot. And Ruth is here to show us that God saves Gentiles, that He saves Gentiles, that the gospel reaches out to Gentiles. She was a Gentile. She was a Moabitess, one out of a cursed race. And so here we have the story of Ruth, the book of Ruth. And it talks, of course, about our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word kinsman, or near kindred, is the key to this book, kinsman. And look in chapter 2 and verse 1. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Look down in verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen, one that hath the right to redeem. Then chapter 3 and verse 9. And he said unto her, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman, one that has the right to retain. Down in verse 12. And now it is true, I am thou near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I, which is our relation to Adam. Somebody's got to pay off the debts to justice so we can be redeemed. And you know I can go on and on about that, but it says in Leviticus that if your brother be poor, sold away his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And that was to show us that the Lord Jesus Christ, our near kinsman, who had come, and He is our near kinsman from all eternity. He was our Redeemer from all eternity. We were given to Him in the covenant of God's blessed grace. Christ, God from eternity, never ever looked to us for anything. He only looked to His Son to pay the debt. Only looked to His Son to redeem us. The only person who could ever possibly do anything for us was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He bought us. Gave us freedom, righteousness, and life. But let me tell you the story. The story is that a man named Elimelech, he lived in Bethlehem, which was part of Judah, part of the inheritance of Judah, the kingly tribe. And there's a famine in the land, and he took his wife, was Naomi, and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they went down into Moab. Went down into a country, a heathen country, ungodly country, wretched country, and they left from down there, and they went down there because of this famine. And they went down there and they stayed a long time. But while they were down there, Elimelech died. So Naomi was left a widow. Her two sons married, a woman named Orpah and a woman named Ruth. But both the sons died. And so here's Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi, all of them with us. Well, Naomi hears that there's a bread back in Egypt, back up in Bethlehem, Judah, and she says, I'm going home. So she started home. She told her daughter, said, you stay down here. Just stay here among your own kin folks, among your own people. This is where you need to stay. They're going to follow her, but Orpah said, yes, I will. Ruth said in one of the most blessed verses of scriptures in all the Bible, it's down here in Ruth 1:16. And she said in verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Go stay in Moab. Stay down here among your kinfolks and your own gods. And Ruth said unto her, entreat not me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Listen to this. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What a statement. What a statement. What a statement. You know why she said that? It sounds like, you know, God put those words in her heart. God put those words in her mouth. God put that spirit in her. Because he meant that this is going to be the grandmother of David, who is going to be the kingdom given to him everlastingly, which Christ was set on his throne. So when you look back, Ruth was a descendant of our Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. And so you see, beloved, so let me give you a few things here about this people. Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, Orpah, and Ruth. Elimelech means God is king. God is king. God is king. That's what his name means, Elimelech. Naomi means sweet and pleasant. Mahlon means weakness, very weak. Chilion means consumption. Consumption. Orpah means stiff-necked and declining. And she did. Ruth means companion. I'll be your companion. And of course, Boaz is of course the kinsman redeemer. So Orpah, she went back to her people. And then look here what happens in chapter 1 and verse 19. She starts back. Here's a picture of us when we go out into the world and we leave off the things of God and we don't pay attention to the things of God. We're not interested in God. And I read a verse today that said, God's not in all their thoughts. That they mean that they say in their mind there is no God. That's what they say. You know how many people say that today? That's as common as spitting on the ground now for people to say there is no God. That's just as common as anything. But look what it says here. And so in verse 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And when it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? There had been such a change come over. And she said unto them, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. God done this to me. God brought me to the end of the ship. God took my two sons. God took my husband. I went out full and I come back empty. And our Lord hath brought me home again empty. Empty. And all beloved, that's the way we are. We go down into Moab and we get full and the Lord brought us back empty. We went out there and we get up in bitterness. And Naomi, why call you then Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me. The Word of God testifies against us. God Himself in His Scripture says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And God, when He brings us to affliction. And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, which was with her, returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to the time of the barley harvest. So here she come out. Here's this woman went out happy, beautiful, full. She came back old, bitter, worn, weary, poor, empty. And that's us. That's us, beloved. Look at us. Adam was put in paradise. Man fresh from the hand of God. One who communed with God every day. Can this people like us, poor, dying, corrupt creatures, be called the sons of Adam, who was created in the image of God Himself? God raised him up to be a prince, and then he became a slave and made us all slaves. created the King, the Lord, on this earth, then he'd become a beggar. He was created in pleasantness and dwelt in paradise. God filled him full of his power and glory. And then, beloved, and all of his sons are now full of emptiness. In him the race was blessed, and now the Adam's race is cursed from the top to the bottom. Oh, my. And then, oh, but bless the name of the Lord. God Christ has something for us. Oh, our Lord Jesus has something for us. Look here in verse 1, chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. I don't know if they'll even let me glean. I'm so poor, I don't know if they'll let me in the field. I'm a Gentile, I'm not a Jew. I don't know if they'll let me in there or not. But maybe I'll find grace. And she said, go, my daughter. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Now listen to this. And her half was to lie on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now watch what happens here now. Then Boaz said Boaz unto his servant that was set over them, whose damsel is this? That field's full of women. Lots of widows there. Lots of poor people there. Lots of folks out there gleaning. But he took notice of, well, who's that woman? Who does she belong to? Who is that damsel right yonder? I mean, that field's full of reapers. He's got fields all over the place. He just stopped at this one. Who's that woman? See, here they come. They have no inheritance there. They come back and they have no inheritance. They come back and they're poor. They come back as a beggar. They come back. And you look at Leviticus and Deuteronomy both. It's written in the law that when you glean a field, when you reap a field, you go around the corners. You leave the corners so that the poor can come in there and get something to eat. And when you got all of your olives, you always left the olives on it. Some of it, so poor people have those. Whatever. If you grained, you gleaned, you gaped, you didn't get all of them, so the poor people could come and get those. And that's what everything that they left behind, the gleaners could go pick up behind them. And so she went out there to glean with the poor. She was in poverty. And all, beloved, she happened to the lot to come to where Boaz was. And I tell you, beloved, God's people need to go where grace is at, where they can find grace. You're not going to find grace out here in most places. You ain't going to find grace out staring at the stars. You ain't going to find grace in yourself. You ain't going to find grace in anywhere or anything. If you find grace in the eyes of the Lord, you'd be sitting under the sound of the gospel. God having mercy on you. God speaking to you. God revealing himself to you. You've got to go where the Lord's people are. Go where the... Come in as a reaper. Come in like her. Come in as poor. Come in as poverty. Come in gleaning. Come in with nothing. Come in empty. And you know how many people have come in and, beloved, not realizing that they come into the right field at the right time at the right place, and that we preach Christ as the great glorious Redeemer, and somebody believes that. I heard a story the other day. True story. A fellow was preaching down in Australia, and this guy was out running, and he heard that preacher preaching inside that building just a few years ago. He went by running, and he run back. He stopped. Had his running shorts on, he sat down by that door of that building and heard that preacher preach. Finished hearing him preach. He come back to the next service, and the Lord saved him. He is out running. Don Fortner was doing the preaching, so you know he heard the gospel. He said, what's going on in there? Huh? He wasn't by feeling that. He stopped to glean a little bit, and the Lord does something. He stopped and said, I'll give me a few of this. And Lord, that's God. But you come to where the gleaning is. Huh? And all, beloved, that's why our Lord, where the Lord walks with His people, that's where He reveals Himself. And Boaz saw Ruth and had compassion on her. And all, before she even knew who he was, she didn't know he was Boaz. She didn't know he was the kinsman redeemer. She didn't know this at this particular time. And our Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on us, loved us, chose us before the world was ever made, loved us from eternity. And God's love for His elect people is special, a sovereign, distinguishing love. And He loved us ever before we knew Him, while we was in this world. And I'll tell you, look in Isaiah 43. Let's just look at this a minute. Talking about how He loved us and why He done for us. God's providence. I mean, you know, she went on that field and said, the Lord, half, her half was to light on Boaz's field. She didn't know who Boaz was. She said, maybe I'll find grace. And look what it said here in Isaiah 43, talking about what the Lord does for us. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Now He didn't say, I tried to redeem you. I didn't make redemption possible for you. I didn't say I made redemption for everybody. I redeemed you. You, Jacob. You, O Israel. And when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they ain't going to overflow you. And then look down verse 3 where He says this. He said, for I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now listen, I gave Egypt for your ransom and Seba for thee. I gave nations for you, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable and have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. I'll do whatever's necessary to save you. To save you. God's going to get His people. And all, beloved, and I tell you what, here's a beautiful picture of God's wonderful providence. And as the fields of Bethlehem belong to Boaz, so this world belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, He's going to get His people out of His field. Everything was given to Him. The Father loved the Son, giving all things into His hand. And then look what happens here in chapter 2 again. So here she was. She happened to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. God is graciously going to bring His elect where He'd be gracious to. He's going to bring them to where He's going to get them. He's going to get His people. And then Boaz says this. And the servant said over the reapers, answered, this the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she's been here all morning and she's tarried a little in the house. Now look what Boaz says to her here now. He said, then Boaz said unto Ruth, Hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field after they reap, and go thou after them. I've charged the young men. Now listen to me. Talking about protecting us and preserving us. I've charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. God says, you don't touch the apple of mine eye. Touch not mine anointing. And when thou thirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men shall give you. And all beloved... Just not mine anointing. And then look what he said. She fell on her face. Bowed herself to the ground. And that's what you'll do if Christ ever speaks to you. He says, you're mine anointed. I ain't going to let nothing. I'm going to give nations for you. I'm going to give kingdoms for you. I'm going to give people for you. And all, beloved, I found grace in thine eyes, and thou shalt take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. But now look down here and where it says in verse 16. In verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Don't you dare shame her. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. When you're going through that reaping, every once in a while reach in there and get you a big handful and lay it down on the ground. Right? Wait till she gets up real close. lay her bread on the ground. She come in that first night, and you will see that later. She come in that first night, she had the office, bunch of, you know, you just get, you and Jimmy just get just a little bit. She had, oh, she had an astronomical amount. So, yeah, the Lord's going to provide for His people. And oh, beloved, look here in verse 18. Let me get on with this thing. And so, you know, according to the law of God given to Israel, if a man sold his inheritance, he had a kinsman who was willing and able to, the kinsman could buy back his lost inheritance. And so here Boaz had given Naomi and Ruth the hope that he might just hope that he might be able to redeem them, would redeem them. And she took it up. She took that barley, that ephah of barley, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord! Who hath not left off his kindness to the living. I'm still alive, and to the dead, even to my husband. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen, one that hath the right to redeem. She didn't know that. And so Naomi, in chapter 3, Naomi tells Ruth what she has to do. She must go to the threshing floor. She gleaned in the fields where Boaz would be on the threshing floor, that near kinsman. And she knows to go in there and humble herself, lie down at his feet and spend the night there. And Ruth, Naomi said, he'll tell you what you should do. And Ruth did what Naomi told her to. Now you imagine what it was for her to humble herself, to put herself in this situation. Boaz, she says, you wait, you go, you watch him, and she watch where he lays down. And when he lays down, you go and lay down at his feet. You lay right down at his feet. And when you lay at his feet, this is the place you humble yourself. And that's where men need to be, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men came and fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou canst, thou shalt make me whole. And they said, if I can but get down and touch the hem of his garment, the hem of his garment is at his feet. And oh, here she come, and here's a picture of true repentance. And she went in where Boaz was, and she laid down at his feet. And look what it says over here. And verse 8, and it came to pass in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 8, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who are you? She said, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. And this was she said, spread there your skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. You can take me. You're the kinsman. You got the right to redeem me. You got the right to take me. You got the right to pay for me. And I'm humbling myself here at your feet. I'm here humbling myself, giving myself up to you to do with me what you will. And look what he says to her. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And all beloved in Nineveh. Oh my. So she stayed there all night long. And I'll tell you something, that sinner who needs mercy will always be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do know this. I do know this, it's like Mary, when she kissed the Lord Jesus Christ, she washed her feet with his tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet. And beloved, every sinner that's ever come to Christ, they start right there at the feet. They start at the feet. In Revelation, when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, John fell as a dead man at his feet. We're going to come to his feet. And once you ever come to his feet, that's where you want to stay. You want to always stay there. And I tell you, many are way, way too proud to bow to the feet of Christ. And Ruth told Boaz what she wanted. Take me, I'm your handmaid. I'll do what you require. Boaz said, I'll do what you require. Now look what he says here now. In verse 11. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all that thou requires, for all the city of my people do know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it's true that I'm your kinsman, but thou be it there's a kinsman nearer than me. You know there's a kinsman nearer than her, nearer than him. I'll do what you require. But there's a kinsman nearer than me. He got to deal with him first. Now what's he talking about here? That law that holds us in bondage. That law that says that somebody can redeem you. And the law must be filled. Christ will and must be a merciful Savior. Will be a merciful Savior. He can save no one until he first dealt with the law and justice of God. God must be just. Especially when he justifies sinners. And that's why we were justified freely by His grace. And our kinsman redeemer. Now look here at the last thing. Look what happens. We see here in this last chapter. And we see what happens. And so what happens was here in chapter 4. Look what happens. Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. And unto him he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down. He turned aside and sat down. And he said, sit down here, and they sat down. He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, sell apart the land, which was our brother Abimelech's. And I thought to advertise, I wanted you to know, buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. If you won't redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there's none to redeem it besides me or thee, and I'm after thee, and I will redeem it. Give you got the first shot. The justice of God's got the first shot. It's the law's got the first shot. The law's what holds us in bondage. Who's going to pay that debt? Who's going to buy that inheritance? Who that inheritance that we lost in our father? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to redeem us from it? Who's going to do it? But he said this, the day that you buy the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Kinsman said, I ain't going to do that. Because it'll mar my inheritance. And all Boaz said in verse 8, the kinsman there said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Drew off his shoe. And there, beloved, he informed him and told him he'd have to be married. And the Lord Jesus Christ had done the same thing for us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. And beloved, He's a great and a mighty kingdom, for He is God Himself. And He's a kinsman of great wealth. Do you have any idea how wealthy our Lord Jesus Christ is? All things are His. When it says all things are His, that's what it means, everything. Everything is His. When you and I don't have a thing that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't give us, didn't make the means for us to have it. And He could just as well make the means for us to lose it. Because He's the one with all the wealth. All the fullness of grace and glory is in His. And as Boaz loved Ruth, Christ loved us without any cause whatsoever found in us. And all beloved, and here's what happens. Let me give you this. Boaz took Ruth to wife, and look what happens now. It goes on down here, and it says down in verse 10. Moreover, the Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have thou purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And all of you, it said in verse 12, your witnesses. And then down in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Whose name is going to be famous in Israel? His descendants, this man, this child. And he shall be unto a restorer of thy life. Who is this child? And a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better than thee than 10 7 sons that hath borne thee. And so you see, let me tell you something about a kinsman. Let me hurry up and be done here. The kinsman, he had to be, first of all, he had to be a blood relative. He had to be a blood relative. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he had to have the money to redeem the inheritance. He had to have the price. And then thirdly, he had to be willing to redeem that inheritance. He might have the, be a blood relative. He might have the money. But if he ain't willing, what good would it do? That one wasn't willing to do it. And then he had to be willing to marry the deceased wife of the deceased kinsman. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is our near kinsman because he became one with us, sharing our nature. He didn't take upon himself the seed of the nature of the nature of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. And he was able to pay the price demanded. He had the price to pay. He paid with his blood and his obedience to God's holy law. And not only was he willing to pay the price to redeem us, and that willingness to pay the price to redeem us was God's judgment upon him on Calvary's cross as he bore our sins in his own body and the tree. And then he was willing to take us and make us his bride. Huh? He said, Paul said, I show you a mystery. I show you a mystery. He said, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. And he said, when I speak of this marriage, he said, I'm speaking of Christ in the church. Christ shall present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle nor any such thing. Presented to himself blameless. And so, beloved, I hope there are some gleaners. If you're hapt on this lot, if it is your hap to be here, I pray that God would, you know, he'll give you a handful on purpose. He'll give you a handful of his grace, a handful of the bread of Christ, the life of Christ, and do something for you that only he can do.